I'd like to read in your hearing the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 48. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and he took place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with the tears and then dried them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she's a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts of both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered. "I suppose the one whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus says to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I've entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you that her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Hide this preacher behind the cross that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of their heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? How many of you have seen that movie before? Oh, at least I'm in. See, in the earlier service, I dated myself in the earlier service when I said this movie, because some of the young people was looking at me like, "What are you talking about?" But this is, it's a great movie. The woman on the left, there's Catherine Hooten, and of course, this is Sidney Poitier. You have, Spencer Tracy? Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn. But the story is that Joanna and Dr. Prentice have met on a trip in Hawaii, and they decided to get married. So Joanna wants to fly home to meet with her mom and dad, Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn, to meet them and to tell them of their plans to get married and to live in Switzerland. But here's the problem. The parents doesn't know that he's African American. Guess who's coming to dinner? And it's a beautiful story, because they get home in San Francisco, and the mother is supportive of their decision to get married. But the father's not buying it, and you know most fathers are like that. They've only met 9 days ago. And so the father's not feeling, I don't care, that's my daughter, and getting married, only met this man 9 days ago, I don't think so, ain't happening. Any other fathers would be the same way? But what I love about this is Kramer and Rose, the writers of this story, they almost create like this perfect character. That Dr. Prentice is, you know, he's come from the best schools and he's doing this innovative medicine in Africa. And the only reason why you would say no to this marriage would have to be because he's African American. And the story is beautiful. If you haven't seen it, watch it. If you watch it again. But it's a beautiful story. And towards the end of the story, I love what the father does. As he comes to grips with this new son-in-law, and he basically says to them, let's be clear. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about this marriage. God bless you. The only thing that matters is what you two feel for each other. And then he basically says, don't let any outside criticism deny you this mutual love. Oh, it's a great story. But the question is, who's coming to dinner? And the reason why I shared that story, because the gospel reading that we've just read, it reads the same way. You have in this story this woman who heard that Jesus was coming to town. She found out where he was going. Scripture doesn't say that she was invited, but guess who's coming to dinner? Jesus is invited by Simon the Pharisee. And the story takes off with him at the table. But notice that this woman never said a word. She's weeping at his feet. She's crying so much that her tears have washed his feet. I imagine when I was looking at the scripture that she didn't have anything to dry his feet, so she took her hair down and dried his feet with her hair. Her hair now dirty and muddy, but she doesn't care. What I noticed is that this story is in all four Gospels, and yet her name is never mentioned. Isn't that interesting? But what's most important is what she did. I call it wordless worship. Never said a word. Just worshiped him. When I was in school, I got in trouble for talking too much. Could you imagine? Sometimes we do talk too much, but that's why God made us with two ears and one mouth, so that we might listen more. So listen closely. She never said a word. She just worshiped. One of my professors shared this story with us, and he said that they were at this pool. It was in the wintertime. It was one of those pools with the dome over top. And some kids were swimming to practice so that they could make the team. And there was one father who basically told his son, swim another lap. I said swim another lap. And the boy was tired. And so his father, if you swim two more laps, I'll let you get out of the pool. And the boy would swim the two laps, and his father would renege on his promise and make him swim another two laps. Some of the other parents just couldn't take it anymore. Told their kids, get out of the pool. Let's go. I'm out of here. I can't take this. But you can see something's bad about to happen in this scenario. And the kid's, Daddy, I'm tired. Shut up, swim another lap. One parent sitting on the bench with all of his clothes just got into the water and he held on to the boy. Wordless worship. Let me tell you something. He never said a word. He didn't say to the parent, you know what? You're pushing that boy too hard. Something bad's going to happen. He never said to the little boy, do you need my help? Just got into the water. And he held on to him. Sometimes we talk too much. Amen? But the question is, when we say that we love God, does it match what we do? There ought to be some evidence. This woman, sinner, is just worshiping, giving God honor and glory. Notice she never even asked for anything. She just worshiped. We could learn from her. Sometimes it's just good to be still, amen? Some of my greatest prayers is when I sit in a room and I'm quiet and I don't say anything, but I just listen. Those are some of my greatest prayers. The ones where I mess up is when I'm trying to be poetic and sound like the Psalms and all of that stuff. God doesn't want to hear all of that. Just speak from your heart. Just listen. This woman, we can learn from. I was looking at this text, and I thought about an invite, but not an invitation. And that's what came to mind when I was thinking about this. You ever find a flyer or a flyer's mailed to you, and it's telling you of some great gathering, and you say, oh, I'm going to go to that. But you weren't really personally invited. And that's what this woman was like. She heard that Jesus was coming and she says, I'm going. Now, the text doesn't even say how she got in. Did she go through the back door where the kitchen was? Did she just walk through the front door and nobody noticed her? Did she climb in the window? It doesn't say. All we know is that she got in. She was there. And she showed up on the scene and she brought a gift to Jesus. And she anointed him. God bless you. One of the things that we might learn from the woman is to be a giver and not a taker. Notice she never asked for anything. She just worshiped. And she took this alabaster box of oil and she anointed his feet. We could learn from her. We can learn from her. I imagine that sometimes in life, we have to stop worrying about what other people think. Sometimes in life, we just got to take a stand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes as Christians, everybody's not going to agree with us. But you just got to do it because it's the right thing to do. Are you with me? This woman was amazing. And her goal was to find him. Don't you know the scripture says everybody that seeks him finds him? She found him. I love this story. And there was a story that I came across of a college professor who was teaching theology and faith. And there was this young man, Tommy, whose hair was 6 inches past his shoulders. And the teacher said that as soon as he walked in the door, she marked an S on her book for strange. Tommy. Tommy was an atheist, and he challenged her every step of the way. He would grimace. He would smirk. He would whine. Anytime that she talked about God being our Father, he didn't want to hear it. The last day, he's turning an exam, and he turns around to the teacher and he says, "Do you think I'll ever find God?" And she says, "No." And he says, "No." She says, "No." She let him get about 5 steps before he walked out the door. She says, "Tommy, I don't think you'll ever find God, but I think God will find you." Years went by. She didn't know what happened to Tommy, but she had heard that he was sick with cancer, and he came to see her. And when they greeted, he said to her, "I came by to see you because I was always struck by what you said to me on the last day of class. You remember when I said, 'Do you think I'll ever find God?' And you said, 'No.' But then just before I walked out the door, you said, 'But he'll find me.' And he said, 'I want you to know I found him. And even though I've got weeks to live, I found peace because I found him.'" Listen, everybody that seeks him finds him. That's how faithful our God is. That's how loving our God is. Amen? When we look at this story, it says that Simon noticed what this woman was doing. And he started reasoning to himself, if he's really a prophet, then why doesn't he know that this woman is a sinner? If he's really a prophet, then he would know what kind of sin she's been involved in, and why would he let her touch him? You know, sometimes even as Christians, we can be so judgmental. Hello. And if Simon was so smart, then why didn't he also perceive that Jesus knew what he was thinking? And that Jesus knew what kind of man he was. And I don't think Joan Rivers coined this term, "Can we talk?" Because when you look at the scriptures, Jesus says, "Simon, come here. Can we talk?" It pays to know who you're talking to, amen? One time my brother said to my mother, my mom is short, he says, "Mom," he was in his 40s, he says, "Mom, you're not a midget. I think that you're a fidget." And that little hand went, whack! And I said to myself, it pays to know who you're talking to. It was a left hand, too. She was quick. So Jesus says, "Let me explain something to you, Simon." He says, "You invited me to your home. But when I came to your home, you didn't wash my feet. You see, it was customary to wash your guest's feet. And it was customary to greet your neighbor or your guest with a hug or a kiss. And it was customary to anoint them with oil." He didn't do any of those things. Don't you know the other guests noticed? So the real question is, why did he invite Jesus if he didn't want to show him respect, if he didn't want him to feel welcomed? Sometimes the church is just like that. We say that we want God to fill the pews, and then you know what we do? They need to take that crying baby somewhere else. But we don't have no children in the church. Why do we act like that? And I can't believe they walked in this church with long hair and tattoos. Oh, my gracious. Sometimes we're just like that. And Jesus says, "Come here. Let's talk. Can we talk?" But how many of you know just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right? You know what? I'm so grateful that no matter where we are, God doesn't leave us there. And he always elevates us to a new level in him. And he says, okay, Derek, you messed up. You didn't get it right, but let's try it again. That's the love of God. Amen. And he gives us one more time to do it, to get it right. One more time to share the love of God with someone else. One more time to say to someone, he'll find you. He'll find you. Would you join hands with the person next to you? Let us pray. Most gracious God, you are truly an awesome God. Father, we can feel your love in this place. We can feel your love for Providence United Methodist Church, giving us the gift of each other, the gift of this community, the ability to reach them, to equip us with everything that we need. We thank you for it, Lord. Father, we thank you for health and strength. And we even pray for our sick and our shut-in. They can't be here, but you can be with them and you can bless them simultaneously, even as we pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Ruby A.G. And we know that she's right next to you, smiling, looking down and even praying for us. Father, we thank you for Virginia Anderson, who's also in hospice. We thank you for Stuart Watkins, a great lover of your word, a teacher, great man. Continue to be with him. Mr. Gold is in the back and just continues to come and just offer his smile, his pleasantness, his joy. Father, there's so many who suffer right here, but they come to offer their praise and their thanks to you. Lord, we ask that you bless Daniel as he's in clinical pastoral education. We pray that you continue to bless Margaret and Eric as they are on their honeymoon and bring her back safe. Lord, I thank you for the gifts of Carla Wooten. We thank you for Janet Watts being with us this morning. Lord, we thank you for Linda Collins. She's not here. She doesn't come here on Sunday mornings, but she's sure enough behind the scenes making things turn out for our good. Father, I thank you for Tyler's work. He's a guy who is so quiet, is behind the scene, but whatever he puts his hands to, Lord, you make it turn out well for us, and we're so grateful. Father, thank you for these opening positions, children's director, youth director. And we pray your hand upon it. And we know that you're going to bless it. Bring us who we need. But in the midst of it, bring us a calm and a peace of mind so that we will know all things are in your hands. Thank you for our visitation group, our prayer group, and for all the ministries of this church. And now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.